Welcome everyone to episode 32, which is the second part of our conversation with our wonderful guest Bilna Sandeep, the woman, the powerhouse behind three big businesses. One is Growing Marketing Agency, the second is Built Market Lab, and the third one is Homepreneurs Club. So if you haven't heard the first part, I encourage you to please tune in and listen to episode 31. And we're going to carry on with the fun conversation today. So Bilna, would you say the systems that you mentioned have been a big part of your journey to scale up?
Huge part of it.
Can you give us some insight on these systems?
I'll tell you how it all started. I have a friend who's also a marketing agency owner. I happened to meet her through one of the networking events, and lucky me, I asked her, how do you set up your company? What is the system? Not everybody would share this with you, right? But she was very good, very kind enough to share with me how she sets up her system, how the meetings are done. So that's how I slowly started putting that in place. And then, even then, I was not completely comfortable moving out, but it kick-started the process.
Of course.
You know, it took me on a direction. I got, okay, this is the direction. And then I came across a book called Traction. I don't know if you have heard about the book. It teaches a system called EOS, Entrepreneur Operating System.
Okay. So
it's a very nice book.
No, I'm not going to read it. You can give me the summary if you read it.
I'll read it on our behalf.
This book has really helped me structure the team.
Wow.
Because it deals with how, number one, how do you structure the team? Then it also deals with like, how do you set up the core values for your company? And it also tells you like how to get the people who are right for your company.
Oh, nice.
You know, so how to get the people right for the company is like, do they believe in your core values? Mm. It's as simple as that. But then the next step is, are they in the right positions in the company? After doing that, and they do give a lot of worksheets and all, which you can go to their website and download as well, which I did with my team. I sat with my team and I was working on that. And I had to make a few changes in our team. Like, I knew they were very good people, but probably they were not in the right places. So I had to interchange a few people from their position, and it started working very well. So it's like you see their strength, what it is, and put them in the role that really works better for them. So we made a few changes. It really clicked well in the team. So
nice. That sounds amazing, actually, because I had no process. We had no, like, we knew what we wanted to cover.
Okay.
But it was probably not a 360 view of how the team should come together.
Okay.
And I suppose that's on the job training, right?
Yeah, it needs that organic. Like, time spent on the floor as well, right?
For us to know what we want. Yeah.
So this book also gives you a format of a meeting, which you can do once a week. It's called Level 10 Meeting.
I think you're going to order it.
And as a CEO, you should only be attending that meeting with your team. That's what they say. You know, it has a very structured agenda. So it tells you how to maintain a company tracker plus a company rocks, they say, you know. So and company scorecard.
That's that has quite powerful. Weekly numbers. You're talking our language.
I'm like... Bilna, you should get some loyalty out of the sales of this book.
But I would recommend that to anybody who wants to scale, because for me, that was the huge realization moment for me. Okay, I could do this in the team. That's when I started seeing the real structure coming. That is when I felt comfortable moving out.
Right.
Because when I started this format meeting.
Oh, very interesting. I thought you would refer to some of the courses we've spoken about. So this is a surprise for me too. Where would you put all the courses? Because Rupali and I have an uncontrollable itch to sign up to courses. We love being a learner.
I am the same.
And we've had to really stop ourselves from being in that mode, because it's a time commitment over anything.
Yes.
How would you kind of place that learning? I understand you were doing it on your drive.
Yes.
We love doing that as well, but there's only so much that, you know, you can become an expert of.
Yes.
And only so much you can load into your brain as well, right? So
now I started buying courses for my team.
Ah.
Because now when something is related to graphic design, I put it for my graphic designer.
Perfect.
If I have time, I might go and do the same, but I basically buy it for my graphic designer.
Yeah.
And if it's a content related one, I buy it for my content writer. I mean, I don't chase them to do it. If they are okay, they'll do it. But yeah. I still have it in my set of courses which I have with me.
Nice.
So I tell them, I give it as a suggestion, please do it, you know, and then some of them do it, some may not, but it's fine because, so I don't know if you know about this Gallup strengths.
No.
It is, yeah. You know about it, right? So for me, one of my Gallup first five strengths is learner, and input is again another one. So I keep collecting courses. I keep
Mine's
collecting learning
yeah, I have
courses.
Some, yeah.
I've done this
so you can very well relate to this.
So
right?
We're normal.
Yeah, we're normal.
We're all on the same page. I'm sure we're normal.
So I do
that, and I have a Google Drive where even, you know, the freebies you get on the websites, people give away free ebook, free for their email marketing, whatever.
Yeah.
I download, I put them folder wise and subject wise. So when I need, I can go back and refer to it.
I'm
that crazy.
Yeah. I probably need to organize my learnings a little bit more because mine's on my phone. Like you said, I listen on my drives back in the morning and evening. So a lot of it is on my phone, and then some of it is on my laptop, and then some of it is elsewhere probably.
Yeah.
So this is why, like, Google Drive, I can access it from my phone, my everywhere, right? So I put it all in my Google Drive. So even on the phone, when I download, the moment I click the share button, put it on the drive, and then it's
amazing.
There, you know. So I have it there.
But would you say these courses have played a big role?
A huge role. So when I keep listening to the courses on the drive, I may not take everything because not everything might be applicable to you. But it's always good to know that this is there in the world. You know, this thing is there.
Yes.
What is right for my business, what I feel I can implement, I execute.
Right.
So you have to focus on the execution part as well.
Exactly.
That's the thing.
Exactly.
But not everything maybe, but whatever you feel is right for you, don't put it for later.
Mm.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Otherwise, it's very easy to keep
accumulating the
knowledge, and not leaving any space for applications as well, right?
Yeah.
Sometimes I find that as well, because if you've been in like 5 courses over 3 months, and then you've signed up for 3 more, you need to kind of let it breathe and simulate in your kind of life and see it play out.
Yes. I think the issue with lack of organization, I think on my, is what I'm thinking back to as you mentioned it, is that when it's not in a proper organized way, then a thought comes to your mind and you just go to Google instead of going to your drive. And then you go to Google and they throw 5 courses at you, which then they keep throwing at you because you've visited.
Retargeting ads.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah.
What
that's
you
what
do.
We do.
Thank you, Vilna.
That's what we do for our clients as well.
So, no, I think it's, good point.
Yeah.
If that's one thing I take away.
Yeah, but you know, we were talking about it earlier that maybe in the last 2.5 years, I feel like I've maybe just done a whole new degree with investments as well as entrepreneurship. So there's a lot of value to be taken from these courses. And as much as, I mean, we are addicted for a reason because they add that value to our lives. And they all have something to offer. What are you looking at next? I know you've done some big changes. Would you like to talk about the shift from focusing on small businesses to now medium and large businesses and what that means in terms of the kind of people that you're dealing with, the kind of challenges you face?
So I still serve the small businesses through my Homepreneurs Club community, where it's not a one-on-one coaching, but it's more of developing the whole community. The whole community comes together and I want to teach them how to network in the right way, because none of us learn networking in colleges or schools. Even if you go for an MBA degree, they teach you marketing, but they don't teach you how to network, right?
No, not at all.
So that's what I want to implement it through the community, especially for women. And I myself, you know, I am an introvert. I don't really like to have too many people sitting around me. Then if I do go for networking events, if I go for a huge event, I want a break for a day. That's the kind. I need to recharge my mind.
I relate.
Yeah.
So that's the kind of person I am. But still, I don't stop myself from networking because I feel that to grow your business, you need to have a very strong network of people around you. So that is what I do in the club. I teach them how to do the networking and how do they... plus also there's a lot of value add through bringing different guest trainers and all.
Yes, I've been part of the club.
Yes.
I've first-hand experienced the value that you bring.
That's
there's
nice.
In fact so much material that it's almost overwhelming to go through everything.
Do a lot of things,
yeah.
Yes. So that is the... So we keep on adding more and more content to it. Every month there's a guest trainer who comes on board. So
nice.
Everyone get to learn it at their own pace or the live session. But now we are also shifting the focus more on the networking side for the club. So every member who comes in, we are looking at growing the club in volume-wise as well right now. So that's my plan for the club. And when it comes to my marketing agency, we are looking at onboarding more clients who are revenue-focused clients.
Mm.
So one of the things that we do during our discovery calls is I ask the client, what is the revenue you want on your table per month? If a client says that I cannot share that with you, it's fine. They don't have a trust. But if they say I don't have an idea about this, I don't have a number on my mind, I tell them you come back to me when you have that.
Fair.
Because you're not yet ready to invest hugely into marketing otherwise what happens with a lot of time, this is what we learned by onboarding wrong clients previously, was that some clients, they come on board but they change the track on the go. Like if they keep changing what they want, then you have to do the whole strategy again, the whole marketing. So it all ends up in a mess. So when you know exactly, yes, this is the revenue you want, of course you can change the strategies, but when you know the revenue goals and how to add to it, it's much easier. So that's the kind of clients we look forward to serve more over the years. So we plan to. So right now we work as a remote team. I have people in India, Pakistan, and different parts of the world. Now the next thing is to set up the next office space. So we'll be doing it this year, hopefully. That's
exciting.
In a few months time. Very exciting. So I've started looking around for spaces, going around looking at the spaces, and I plan to bring a few of my existing team members also here.
Amazing.
So these are the things in pipeline for us and hope to grow bigger.
That's amazing. One thing that I was asked recently, which I would like to also know your perspective on, was actually Jen from Female Fusion asked me this question, and I found that I was on both ends of the spectrum. So basically there are entrepreneurs who kind of stick to having a more conservative view of how they want to start and then carry on spending their money. They sometimes have a set pool of funds that they've delegated to the company, and they're very kind of protective about it, let's say. Whereas there's the other side that's happy to spend and kind of throw money, maybe I can say, at what comes their way. And they want to save on the time that they would spend otherwise growing.
Yes.
Do you see yourself relating with either sides? Or I would love to get into your head because you're looking at massive investments as you were just talking to us. So
what I'm looking at is more of, like I said in the beginning, if you don't put in money, you don't take back money. So that is the point I come from. But I don't believe in blindly putting money on. There should be a calculator. I always believe in taking risk, but it's always calculated risk for me. So I don't just throw in. It will be with a proper, like if I put 10,000 dirhams on something, I know what I want to take back from the and in what time. That's also more important. I could get it back in 20 years. That's not what we're looking for, right? So there's a timeline within which I need the ROI from that. So that is what I believe in. You should invest, but you should know when you want to get that money back and how much you want to get back from that.
Yeah, that's very valuable, actually, because a lot of us or generally people or definitely entrepreneurs, new entrepreneurs, don't have that clarity or intention. They're very much stuck in the whole analysis of, do I want to spend this much? But then there's no faith or analysis of the return.
Yes, yes,
which
yes.
is such a big missing piece.
Yeah, and you get a lot of people that are completely open to spending, but they're not very structured about it to a point where you're not sure where it's all gone and what's happened. You know, after a couple of months, few months, to a couple of years later, you're like, wait a second, what's just happened there? So I think having a plan in mind, like we said in the beginning, the plan may change over time
yes.
because you come across factors
yes.
you didn't know at the time, but at least you have a plan to move towards, so which is
exactly.
actually a nice takeaway from this.
Exactly. And also to add to that, always have your bookkeeping right from the beginning.
I was going to come to that. Great. Yeah.
You know, so I outsourced it to a company right now because initially I started trying to do it myself. And at some point I started seeing that I was not able to completely track everything. So now I have outsourced it to a bookkeeping company. So they work a few hours for me and the whole end of the month I get the report. And those reports are most important for our businesses because then you see, you know, how much are you really making or
exactly.
not making, or how much time is it going to take for you. And then also, you know, next month how much you need to spend.
Yeah.
Yes, for sure.
And also we need to understand the difference between revenue, profit
yes.
and
yes.
the cash flow.
Yes,
cash flow,
very
yeah.
much. Cash flow is huge, actually.
Yeah,
it
because
get so
in
much
the
important.
Books there is revenue, but until it comes to your bank,
yeah.
you can't take it, right?
In the right time periods.
In
yes.
the right time periods.
Yeah.
And sometimes they might pay using a payment gateway. Some clients might pay you on
yeah.
Stripe.
Yeah.
It takes almost like 10 days
10
for
days,
it to come
yeah.
to your account.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
By that time, it might be time for you to pay your salaries.
Yes.
So you know where are you going to take that from? So these kind of preparations, if you want to do, you need to know.
Plan.
I think even if you don't come from a finance or commercial background, you still need to know these basic things about the business. Anybody who's jumping into a business, they should have some sort of basic bookkeeping knowledge. If they don't have, invest into some course that tells you
100%.
What is the basics of what are the basic numbers you need to know. You don't have to go in depth into
yeah.
how to do your entries and everything,
yeah,
but
yeah.
you should know the difference between these minimum things that you need to know.
Yeah, I think it makes a huge difference.
Yes.
They
yes.
say most businesses fail due to cash flow issues, don't
yes.
they?
Yeah.
So that is quite a big factor. I mean, it might seem like a cost and an expense and you may not kind of realize the full potential of understanding the numbers, but that's
yes.
ultimately where it lies, like we,
yes,
you know.
Yes, I think it's the fuel of your business. The cash is the fuel. Once you run out, you can't do anything,
yeah.
right?
True.
So you need to have that constant flow of cash coming into your business. So there might be some clients who don't pay you on time. So that
yeah.
you have to have a system when to stop the client who's not paying you
yes.
on time. You know, all
yeah.
these things
right.
are like,
yeah.
I mean, especially
yeah.
in a service-based
especially
business like,
ticket,
like
yeah.
us,
yeah.
It's a huge, we have to make that decision.
Of
There's
course.
A point where the client relation versus the cash. You know, you can't spoil the client relation because they might also be going through something. They are
yes.
not just intentionally not paying you.
Yes.
So, you know, so you have to have that light line. And so as an entrepreneur, there are different points in time you have to make some decisions and move on.
Yes. Moving on, I think, is key.
Yes.
Otherwise, if you start kind of wallowing in that, if you make it
yes.
into about yourself, then you've lost the plot. I mean, I think then it's a battle you've lost
yeah.
already.
And you're losing more, actually,
yeah, yeah,
by wallowing.
Actually, yeah.
You're losing more.
So in a business like ours,
yeah.
like, you know, for me as a
yeah.
marketing agency, we do a lot of proposals
yeah,
in a month.
Yeah.
So it doesn't matter even if you're not closing all of them. So that is something I think every business should know, that the number of leads that come, not all the leads will convert into deals, not all the deals will convert into proposals,
absolutely.
And not all proposals will be a closed
yeah.
project. So this ratio comes down and it's okay. We need to know that it's okay to
yes.
not close all the projects.
Yes.
If you get stuck saying, oh, this guy wasted all my time, and if you keep thinking about that, then you have no time to prospect for the new clients. So
absolutely.
Just leave it and move on.
Move
if something
on.
Doesn't work, it's okay. You have other thousands of people who
absolutely.
You can who can begin. So
absolutely.
For me, I used to actually sit and feel bad about
yeah.
it in the beginning.
I can imagine. Yeah.
You know, because we are spending a lot of time on
of
creating
course.
Proposals, creating customized proposals,
yeah.
everything. But then later I realized it's just a system. It's an administration
yeah.
work. You don't sit and do the proposal. You have an admin who's going to do it for you. Have them done and just push out the deals, and the ones who trust you will come back to you. Some of them might come back to you 6 months down the lane
yeah.
as well. So have a lead lead nurturing process for them.
I found from our corporate experiences, we are very used to having some sort of an approval, some appreciation, some recognition. And if you link that to success in a way of closing a proposal or having X number of clients, then once again, you're putting yourself in the downward spiral. They're very different parameters and very different universes, I suppose, that should not come together ideally in your head. And they work on a very different way. As you're saying, people might come back after 6 months. So what's the value to that? I mean, how do you measure that? So you brought up some really important things there. And I think moving on is probably one key. I'm hearing a lot recently about paying yourself first, Bilna. Even if it is $10. Did you practice that?
I didn't. I didn't do it in the beginning.
I find it hard as well, to be honest.
I didn't do it in the beginning because whatever I had to pay myself, I was taking it and putting it back into the business. So when I started, I was prepared to go 1 year. Without paying myself. It is only after 1 year I started taking small, small amounts. Now in the plan, in my budget for the year, I have it slowly increasing.
Nice.
You know, so, but the first one, though this, a lot of them told me that it keeps you motivated. But for me, the priority was growing the team.
Yes,
so definitely. Maybe I could have taken it out as salary and put it back again. But at the end of the day, what I was doing is like every client I'm getting, I'm increasing one side. So I didn't put the whole amount into growing, taking 11 team members in the beginning. I didn't do that. But it was like as and when I get one project, one more, you know.
Nice.
So it's always one person extra in the team. Not like I get a client and then hire. It's always been like, every time I have the capacity to have two or three more clients, and then so when I know that's getting filled, I hire next.
Oh, amazing. I think most people do it the other way around. Once they get the project, then they find the right person.
The reason being, I can't tell my client like, okay, you have signed up for it. Now you wait till I get the next person. I don't want to do that.
Yeah.
I can't do it.
And it takes time to onboard.
There's a training period as well because they might be really good professional people, but they still need to get used to systems which you have. You know,
and your values, your everything.
Exactly. So that's why we have that. So every time there's a capacity to have two or three clients more, and then we hire as and when that is getting filled. So that's how we do in our team.
Amazing. I would like to end with the last question, which is more to do with the family side of things.
Yes.
A lot of your club members or people who you're dealing with are probably mums, and we hear a lot about the mum guilt phrase coming up in pop culture a lot, at least. I don't think I've felt so much of that myself. So motivation has not been a problem for me. Where do you find yourself on that?
For me, I have always had mum guilt. I've been on the other side where because I don't know why, even during my days in my career, I always used to have this feeling like, oh my God, am I doing enough? Am I doing enough?
Yeah.
So that is something I've had to consciously conquer my mind about it. So it's not that it stopped me from growing my career or anything, but it was more like I had this in my mind. So while I was working, so I was learning, I was still attending some courses for the purpose of the career at that time. So I knew I wanted that very badly. At the same time, I knew my son was, you know, he would be sleeping by the time I come home because the classes were after work. So what I used to do is like, if that happens the next day, I try to come a bit early from work and then taking him out, you know, I try to balance it out. But that guilt, constant guilt had always been there. Now it's become a lot better over the years because I've learned that, you know, like no matter what, they also need to see your struggles, you know, because they need to get inspired. They need to get motivated as well. I think it was more after my daughter was born. That was my second child is a girl. So that's when I realized I need to be a role model to her as well, because she needs to know that women, no matter what, they can build an empire, they can build a business, they can build a career.
For sure.
I wanted her to see that, you know, even if it's a struggle, I do it. And but I also make sure the weekends I keep away for them and have that balance. I wouldn't say balance, I don't know if it's the right word to say, but yes, we try our best to do that. But that guilt factor has come a lot less, but I won't say it was not there in the beginning. It was a lot.
Yeah,
the degree might have come down now.
Yeah, to be honest, actually, I'm thinking back to my days of the early business days where you're not seeing much come in and you're spending so much time away. I think that was a little hard to justify versus, I suppose, going to a job where you know that an X amount is going to hit your bank account. So I think that's kind of something that, again, comes down to mindset, because you then start focusing on, like you said, building something for the long run, right?
Yes.
And to be able to have that freedom is also
very
important.
Very true.
So, and that's definitely one of my core values, maybe all of our core values, which
yes.
is why we're doing what
which
we're
is
doing.
Why we are doing this,
yeah.
right?
Yeah. But thank you so much for this chat, Rupali.
Yes, thank you so much, Bilna.
Thank you
it's
so
really
much.
Nice to meet you in person and hear a lot more about what you do, the back end, and very, very inspiring.
Thank you.
Yeah,
thank you
I
so
feel
much.
Like I'm going to have to listen to this podcast.
Traction.
A few times.
Oh.
Traction. First thing, in the car.
Search for Traction.
Yes. First thing.
They have a series of books, by the way,
oh
but start with Traction.
Okay, fine. You've given us all homework, but thank you so much.
Thank
and
you
wishing
so much.
You the very best for this year and all the years coming up.
And the same to both of you.
Thank you so much.
I think we as women entrepreneurs, we all need to grow together, support
yes.
each other.
Definitely.
Thank you so much for having me on your podcast.
Of course. Thank you.
So please share this podcast, leave your reviews, your comments to support us on our journey. We are so passionate about making your lives more abundant with this information.
So with that, we bring this episode of our financial adventure to an end. Please follow us on all social media platforms at Fantastic Females. None of the information provided is financial advice, and Fantastic Females is not a financial advisor.
The information provided is educational only. It is general in nature and does not take into account your personal circumstances.
Please use your own due diligence before making any financial or investment decisions.